The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace. It all starts now.
Have you ever gotten a document in the mail addressed to you in very fancy stationery that had the letters RSVP on it? Do you know what those letters stand for? I think you know that it means you're supposed to do something. Those letters, you have to speak a little French, stand for Répondez s'il vous plaît. RSVP means you need to do something with an invitation that's been given to you. Did you know that God has sent a document to you with your name on it, with an RSVP, and he's expecting a response because he, at great expense to himself and especially to his son, has sent you an invitation to a banquet feast in heaven. But it needs your response for you to believe it and claim it. I'd like to invite you to dig into a Bible study with me today so that you better can understand that document that is waiting for a response from you. Join me right here on Time of Grace. Come in, let's dig in. May the Lord Jesus give you the confidence to face even death itself without fear. And may he use you as his instrument to help remove that fear from other people as well. In Jesus' name, my dear friends, one of the crazy things about our English language is the way it's been invaded by French. Now, the French hate that too. The Académie Française hates it when all these Englishisms get into French today, and they make war on it and refuse to let those words get into their French dictionaries like le hot dog. This all happened the other way around. Through the Norman invasion in 1066, the French decided that they would like to own England and actually succeeded in defeating the English king and brought their language. And so French became the official language of England for really centuries. In fact, one of the greatest of all the kings who are heroes to the English people today, Richard the Lionhearted, probably only visited England once or twice, and he couldn't even speak English. He was French through and through. And that heritage has left behind its marks all over the place, and it has led to some kind of crazy cultural behaviors that we don't even think much about of where they came from. For instance, if you are looking at royal portraits of the kings of England, you will see the banners around them or above them that will have the mottos or the royal epigrams of the kings of England. But they're not in English. They don't say like, God save the king. Instead, if he was one of the Knights of the Garter, it will say, Honi soit qui mal y pense. It would be like for us as Americans to have, let's say, inscriptions on flags above our presidents in Russian. You might think, what? Put English on there, for Pete's sake. We speak English in this country. Well, that kind of cultural impact has lingered in our ways as well. We don't have kings over here anymore on this side of the Atlantic. But our law was heavily influenced by Norman French law that basically was instituted through William the Conqueror and the Norman French who came over and established their culture. And all kinds of words got into English that even today we use, and nobody knows why anymore. For instance, when our Supreme Court begins its sessions, a guy with a stick will smite the floor three times and say, Oye, 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 or sometimes oyes, oyes, oyes. And most people don't know, why do you do that? Well, the short answer is because we've always done it that way, but the longer answer is that simply is Norman French for hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The court is now in session. When you buy a house and you have to borrow money to do it, the term that is used for your contract for the loan is the Norman French word for a dead claim. Isn't that crazy? That's why you get a mortgage. That goes way back 1,000 years to the time of the Normandy invasion. Isn't that crazy? One of the interesting little features of good manners involves our, I'll say it with all affection, mindless use of a French term, that nobody even thinks about. We can't bust out of it. We're locked into it. But you need to know what it is. When you are invited to something that's a big deal, a huge, big, important reception, or especially a wedding, you will get not a text, not a phone call, not an email. You will get something in the mail. Snail mail is the only acceptable way to convey that invitation. And at the bottom, after the information given about the event, and where and what kind of attire, it will say four letters. What four letters will appear?
R-S-T-E.
Why on earth can't we just say, please reply? What's wrong with English? Nobody knows why, but just like when you sneeze, you must break into German. You cannot just say, you must say Gesundheit. And why we feel the need to burst into German is a bafflement to me. I have no idea. Why would we say Gesundheit? I don't know. That's a German word that means your health. Like, hope you get better, or hope you don't have a cold, or sneeze in that direction, or you don't hit me with it. Gesundheit, we burst into German. When there are formal occasions, we feel the need to use French. And I guess all I can say is we've been doing it for so many centuries, we can't stop. What does RSVP stand for? Anybody know? Any French speakers here? What does it stand for? Répondez, s'il vous plaît. Guess you got to use French. I want to talk to you today about the most important RSVP in your life's history. It's literally life or death. If you skip a commencement exercise or somebody's graduation party, or if you skip a wedding, you might ruffle some feathers and cause some irritations. If you screw this RSVP up, you will have an eternity to ponder what an idiot you've been. It's that big a deal. Listen up. Our story today comes from the end of the Bible, and I'd like you to invite you to take your Bible and open it up to Revelation 22. We're going to read a couple of paragraphs together about a big, big event to which you are invited not only as a guest, you are invited to be part of it. In some ways, you will be the guest of honor because this big gig is a wedding and you're in it. Don't miss your own wedding. What am I talking about? Listen up. Let's let our eyes slide to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 12. Jesus is talking. St. John the Divine is listening and writing all this stuff down. Here is a message through John to you from Jesus. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold is a nice Bible word. We don't use it anymore. Nobody uses the word behold. I bet I've gone years without saying the word, behold, our son has come home. Behold, it's time for my favorite TV show. We don't say that anymore. What this word did in Bible talk basically is to say, hey! See, all you who snapped to attention were ignoring me. You are all the sleepers who just woke up. This is a word up. Hey, pay attention. Sit up straight. Track. This is a big deal. You must not miss this information. I am coming soon. Do not think, people of earth, that everything is just going to keep on sliding along one day after another into eternity, and everything will be the same, and that you can basically talk and manipulate your way out of any old situation that may come along. The game is going to end soon. No warning. I ain't telling you when. So, hey, now is the time to pay attention to your relationship with me. And you better be ready now, because you don't know when I am coming. Roughly 127 people in Paris, France, did not have a lot of warning that was going to be their last day on earth. The hey was for them, but it's for you too, for neither can you predict with 100% accuracy which will be your last day on earth. So now is the time to pay attention to your wedding invitation. I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. Don't say nothing good is ever going to happen. The best days of your life are still ahead if you're connected with Christ. My reward. When Jesus rewards you, you are blessed and rich indeed. When Jesus is doing the rewarding, your life is limitless in how much better it's going to get. When Jesus brings the rewards, you will smile till your cheeks hurt. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Your mind, your faith, your ideas, your talk, your deeds are all one continuous presence. It's all bound together, so I can look at any piece of it and I'll know if you're in or out, if you're with me or if you're against me. And there will be only two kind of people on the day of judgment. You're either you is or you ain't. It's that simple. There will, right now we classify people on earth by, you know, the hundreds and maybe even thousands of languages and dialects, the infinite variations of human racial groups, ways to put people into pigeonholes by height, by economic level, by academic attainments. There's only two on the day of judgment, yes or no, sheep or goats. I, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, that's the Greek letters A to Z, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, folks, people of earth, I am the be-all, end-all, and you either organize your life around me or I am your implacable enemy forever. There, it's that simple. I'm coming back. I am the organizing principle of the universe, not you. The final benediction in Revelation comes next. There are seven. This is the seventh. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Not in bleach, not in Tide Extra, not in Tide Plus, in the blood of Jesus. Normally a substance that causes bad staining. My mother used to go ballistic when we bled on our clothes, and she'd like, as soon as she'd see it, she'd like rip them right off our body and go running away. And I used to, it was years and years till I figured out why she so stressed over us bleeding on our clothes, because if those stains set, they're really hard to get out. And if you sort of wash it a little bit half-heartedly, then that'll make it set even faster. So the only way to get blood out of clothes is immediately to wash it fast in cold water and scrub with all the elbow grease you got. Ironically, it is blood stains that make you clean before God. And the blood of the Son of God from His cross alone makes you look good and sound good and smell good to your God. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You have hope that your reunion with Jesus is going to be a pleasant one, not one that's terrifying. All kinds of metaphors now are stacked up. You have the right to the tree of life, as though when you eat of that fruit, it will lock you into that state. You are going to be transformed so that you are never going to sin again. And that's how you will stay. You're not going to have another fall into sin like Adam and Eve, where we go right back into the danger. Once you step across that line, once you join the wedding party, it's over. The sin is over. The fear is over. The hurting is over. And you will never sin again. You will be cleansed not only with your record, but you'll be cleansed personally as well. And the tree of life will lock in your immortality. And you go through the gates to the city. One of the things we're being saved for, you know what you're being saved from, the damnation of hell. We're being saved for a city. And this is a kind of cool concept to me. When I talk to some friends of mine and they describe to me what their ideal retirement home is going to look like. You know what they always say? I shouldn't say always. You know what some of my friends say? Oh, man, I can see it all now. I look out my kitchen window, and there's deer, like, grazing or nibbling grass, and I can see some birds, and there's a little stream running behind my property, and there are blue herons and all kinds of kingfishers and wildlife. And I'll have trees, great. I'll have like woods back there. And it's going to be like a bird sanctuary. In fact, they go on and on and on, and everything's in their vision except what was missing? People. Ain't you going to be with people when you retire? They just want to run away. People so stress them out, they want to get away from people. Here is one of the cool things of heaven, is you will love to be with people because nobody's going to hurt you anymore. Nobody's going to bully you anymore. Nobody's going to shame you anymore or beat you down or make you feel stupid. Nobody's going to attack you or steal from you, and there will be no more guns and shootings and killings and knifings ever again. It will be fun to be with people because you can trust them all. So the Bible sometimes talks about heaven as a paradise, like a garden, but it's also a city full of people that we're going to be so glad to see and spend eternity with. You probably got some of their faces in your head right now. Some funerals that you attended where you cried your eyes out. If they died connected to Christ, they will rise connected to Christ. Outside are, here's Jesus' word, for people who reject his wedding invitation. Outside are the dogs, barking and howling on the outside, wishing they were on the inside. Those who practice magic arts, the evil practices, voodoo and black magic, all are connected. They're wired to Satan and hell. People trying to do an end run around God and prayer and his word. And by trying to get a hold of some kind of power, they end up selling some or all of their soul to try to get more for themselves. All of those are deadly and risky. The sexually immoral, everybody who is assaulting the sixth commandment. Murderers, people who hurt others. The idolaters, first commandment breakers. Everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Liars, breakers of the eighth commandment. And everyone who lives like this but has not been washed in the blood of the Lamb and does not believe in Christ and sent in the RSVP, yes, I'm in. I want to come to your wedding. Everybody who throws his or her invitation in the wastebasket, blows it off, puts it off for another day, or basically says it's all nonsense, that ain't ever going to happen, are going to find out too late that they will be woofing like dogs on the outside looking in. Who says so? I, Jesus, have sent my angel. That's actually the basic meaning of angelos in Greek. An angelos is a messenger. I'm sending my messenger to give you this testimony for the churches. Here is the message. More metaphors coming. I am the root and the offspring of David. Jesus loved being called the son of David because he fulfilled all of God's promises that there was always going to be a king on David's throne, and that David's great descendant would be the great king, Messiah king, who would rule over all the world for all times. The word root is an okay translation of the Greek word rizza. It actually, a better translation, I think, would be a shoot, rather than something going under the ground that you can't see. That isn't really the point here. The point is that David set up what looked like an endless dynasty, but with the last king, when the Babylonians took the people of Judea into captivity, that tree is like a chainsaw down. Just think of a stump, dead, a dead stump. That was the lineage of David, dead, dead, dead. But maybe you've seen a stump out in the woods someplace or where somebody cut something down where a new whip is coming out or there's a new shoot coming out and a new tree is going to start growing out of that. That is what Jesus says I am. I am a new shoot coming out of the dead stump of David. In other words, my Father and I are keeping our promises to you and to David. And I am the bright morning star. The morning star appears in the sky right before dawn. It's the sign the coming. When Jesus came, it's the sign that daybreak is really going to come. It's a total sign that daybreak is just a minute or two away. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Send in that RSVP and come to the wedding. The bride is all the believers. Jesus is our bridegroom. So you are hearing the Spirit of the Lord through his word, and you are hearing a message from all of the believers who have gone before you and who are around you, who already have sent in their RSVPs. It now comes to you personally, and you got to decide what you're going to do with this wedding invitation. Come to the feast. The feast is ready. Come to the feast. Don't blow this off. What you do with this invitation is a matter of life or death, your life or your death. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, yet another metaphor, let him come. Are you thirsty? Do you wish to live in a better place? Do you wish for better things for the world around us? Are you sick? Is your throat choky and dry because of the wilderness of living in a world of so much hatred, so much violence, so much selfishness, so much greed, so much stupidity? I am. I'm thirsty for something better. As good as our world can be and as beautiful as it can be, it hurts my heart to see so much hurt. And it hurts my heart when I get hurt. I'm tired of it. And I'm thirsty for something better. As hard as I can work, I can't stop you from being hurt. But Jesus can. Are you thirsty for that? Have a drink. Let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. That's his offer to you. He gives it away. You can't earn it, deserve it, pay for it, barter for it, bargain for it, argue for it, justify yourself. It is simply given to you. And here's what it is. The Son of God was born, lived, worked, loved, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended in order to give to you his holiness, to put on you like beautiful robes of shining holiness. And it's his blood that makes your clothes clean. You believe that? Your eternity is riding on what you say at this moment. The feast is ready. The bridegroom will be here any minute now. Now is the time to send in your RSVP. I believe you, Jesus. Come soon for me. Now is the time to invite some friends and bring them along. Hey, come to the feast. The feast is ready. I'm going. You come too. Here's a letter from one of our viewers that actually I've heard numerous times before over the years. This person writes, sometimes you encourage viewers to go to church along with watching Time of Grace. Thank you for noticing. What's wrong with using Time of Grace as my only worship opportunity? I don't really think I need to go to an actual church since I'm getting an excellent message every week from you in my home. Well, if I heard a statement like that, that would get me in a lot of trouble with my fellow pastors who would view Time of Grace now as competition for what they're doing. In fact, Time of Grace is not in competition with any congregation. We are merely a dietary supplement. First of all, I'd like to thank the viewer for kind words and a compliment. I'm delighted to know that you think that we bring value to your home and to your heart each week. But we are only one small facet of the Christian life. And if that's all your touch with God's Word during the week, you are missing an ocean of other experiences that God would very much like you to have. For one, Time of Grace cannot bring you the sacraments. We cannot bring baptism for you and for your family. That is something that needs to happen live. We cannot bring you the Lord's Supper. And the wonderful meal is something that you want to do communally with other believers. And going without the Lord's Supper, living your Christian life without communion, is like trying to be strong without eating. God intended that for our nourishment and sustenance. To have a pastor in your life who can be a counselor to you, who can answer some tough questions, give you guidance when you need it, and who will care about you and pray for you is something that Time of Grace on TV or even on the internet just will never be able to do. And also, we have no way of plugging you into personal service where you can put your Christian faith to work. And so I earnestly urge all of you, as much as you may appreciate Time of Grace, and we want very much to be a great experience in your life, we are only part of the periphery, that there is absolutely no substitute for a membership in an actual, real, live, real-time Christian congregation. That's my encouragement to you. Don't go away, because I'll be back to pray with you in just a moment. It's a great pleasure for me to have a chance to say thank you to all of you who have sent in financial gifts over the past weeks and months. We have no present or future without your support, for there is no other source of income by which we can buy the airtime and the technology we need to keep bringing messages from Time of Grace. So you are truly lifesavers, spiritual lifesavers, and I'm delighted we can continue week after week to be here for you, but that you in turn can help me and all the rest of the Time of Grace team bring wonderful messages of our Savior far and wide in this country and in the world. Thank you. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, you have sent us a wonderful written invitation, inscribed with our names with RSVP. You are looking for and waiting for and longing for a response from us. Send your Holy Spirit to our hearts now through your wonderful gospel, so that we will hear your voice in the printed page and the spoken word when those words come from you. May we believe it, that it's real and that you mean it, and mean us with your gracious invitation, that there's a place at the heavenly banquet for us, that there's immortality and life everlasting for us, that heaven is for us. But let us not be casual about it, but take it seriously, for those invitations were bought at the fearful price of the blood of the Lamb of God, our Savior Jesus. Today, we all say, yes, Lord. We're coming. Thank you for loving us that much. We love you too. And may with our words and deeds show you that our response to your invitation is yes. In Jesus' name, amen. For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor Mark Jeske, celebrating that wonderful wedding invitation we've received. And it all starts now.
It all starts now. Now, the time of grace, it all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.